Amen. Well, thank you for that wonderful song we were able to hear right then. And, you know, because he lives. And, you know, it's because he lives, Amen. We have hope today. And, you know what? I'm thankful for what my Lord done for me. And, you know, this morning, that's why we get up and we begin to rejoice in the day and the fact of knowing that that we now have a hope. Once we were without a hope and we stood without and had nothing about us today, you know, this life that we're living in right now, you know, it meant nothing. We work all the time. We do things to build up for the future. But, just to find out by the word of God that we had no future. We had no future. The only future that was held for us was death. But because of what Jesus done for us, because he lives today, you and I have an opportunity to go to a place to where we can live forevermore. And, you know, this morning, if you don't know the Lord and the free pardon and forgiveness of sin, we ask that you make an altar somewhere and to begin to call out on his name. You know, if you call out on his name, he's just and able to save you this morning. So just remember that name of Jesus. It's by no other name can a man be saved today except by his name and his name alone. So you know, we're thankful this morning. We're full. You know, the word's able to do that for us this morning as we get into it, and we know that it's all truth, and we know that what it stands for today and what it's able to do for us. It feeds us, it keeps us going. You know, whenever life may get us down and out sometimes, it will turn to the word of God. It'll continually remind us of what kind of God we serve and how he's a replenishing God. He's one that's able to fill you up whenever you're empty. He's able to give you what you stand in need of this morning, but he asks that you allow him to do that. So, you know, this morning as we get into the word, I want you to remember this morning that God will only help those that will let him help them. So continue to remember that. You know, he's a powerful God, an omnipotent God, one that has no limits to him. But you know what? He's giving you the opportunity of free will. You make the decision this morning if you're going to allow him to work in your life or not. So, you know, this morning we was thinking along the lines of that, that how he is a working God. And you know, and I believe in that he worked in the very beginning. I believe that whenever he instituted that work, that you and I are to take of that, learn of that example that he set in the very beginning. But you know, this morning as we get into the word, we're going to try in our weak way to get it across to you. A wonderful message that the Lord's given us this morning is nothing that I've done. You know, that's our prayer this morning, that nothing comes out of me, my words, but it's an inspired word that's been put in my heart this morning that you're able to hear right now, because you know, the word of God, knowing that it's all truth, knowing that it's expounded something upon us today to encourage us to keep on going, knowing that he is a working God and he's called a working people. And you know, this morning we were thinking about this a little bit. We've been doing a little bit of reading this past week, and you know what, come across some good stuff. And you know, the word of God full of some good stuff. And you know, we can try to reach out for everything in the world and try to replace what a book that was written 2,000 years ago. So many people think that it's lost. God's word has not lost its power, and it's still got the same power that it had 50 years ago. It's still the same power today. You know, we just got to believe in it. We got to begin to believe that God set it forth for a reason, for us to begin to expound it upon a lost and dying world. So you know, as we was saying this morning, we got a little bit of scripture we want to share with you, starting in the very beginning of the book. And you know, when as we was thinking about that word work, and you know, it seems like we go throughout life trying to work ourselves away from work. And you know, we get a job and we earn wages, and as we go throughout life and we're looking toward retirement and everything like that. And you know what, a man spends his life working to get away from that work. But I'm going to tell you what, this morning we serve a working God. We serve one that he worked from the very beginning. If it wasn't for his work, if it wasn't for his creation today, you and I would not be possible. So you know, knowing that we serve a working God, one that that instituted work and gave work to man. And I'm going to tell you this morning, we need to be able to realize right now that he is looking for that working people. He's looking for somebody today that'll carry on his work. And you know what, we want to encourage you this morning to begin to work for him. I don't, you know what, we can get caught up with a lot of things in life today, and I begin to get caught up in chasing after that mighty dollar today. But you know what, that's not what it's about to Christian people. That's not what it's about to God's people this morning. The work that we put in today needs to be for him. It needs to be for the glorifying of the Almighty God, and the glorifying the upbuilding of his kingdom. But I you know what, I want to begin to come at you and begin to show you what the word of God tells tells us about work. And you know what? I want you to be able to see this morning. We come at you with all love. And you know, when we begin in the front of the book, knowing that God is a God that worked, it says, "In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters." And you know, like I said, He began His work right here. And it's important for us to see that right now, that God took nothing and made it into something. He took something that was without shape, form, like you and I see today, and He made something out of it today. And I want you to know right now, He took somebody like me that was a nothing and made me into something today, that I'd be able to go out and begin to serve Him, to begin to work for Him, to begin to do things for Him, because He is a working God today. My life is possible. And you know what? Life that we look at today, we measure it by money, or we measure it by the possessions that we have. But you know what? My life was not given to me by the things that I own, or the things that I earn by going to my job on a daily basis or anything like that. My life was given to me the day that I knelt down on my knees and called out to Jesus Christ, and I began to ask Him to be Savior, Lord and Savior of my life. So that's when my life began. And you know what? Up until then, I was in death. There was nothing to me. I had no form. There was nothing about me except for an old sinner that had transgressions against His God, a righteous God, one that had nothing about Him except to work for His creation. And you know what? It started out there talking about how He made something from nothing. But you know what? In the second chapter of Genesis, verse 7, it says, "The Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul." So knowing that He is a working God made you and I possible today. So you know what we need to begin to learn from God, that He worked from the very beginning. He started all things. He put in the time for us today. He put in the time for creation. Set in the very beginning his laws into it, and made sure that everything was set right. And we know that He worked for 6 days, and on the seventh day He rested, because it was a perfect work. There was no fault to it. God does things all the way. He doesn't leave anything out. When He gets done with it, He is done with it. It's a finished thing. But I'm going to tell you what right now, that whenever He created man, it was finished. It was perfect. There was no flaw to Him. And then you know what? I want you to know right now that He created man to make a difference. He created man to matter to creation. He created man to work for Him. And you know how do I know this morning? You know what? We was reading something this past week that began to go right along with this message right here. It says that God created us to matter. And you know what? That's all we want today. We want to matter to somebody. Well, I'm going to tell you what right now. God created you in your mother's womb to matter for Him. He created you to have your purpose. And then you know what? In order to have your purpose today, you must realize what His purpose is. And you know what? From the very beginning right here, back in the first chapter right here, we're going to go back, and it says in the verse chapter 26 verse, it says, "And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let him have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." So God created man in His own image. In the image of God created He him. Male and female He created them. Created He them. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, "Be fruitful, and multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth." And you know what we see this morning? God had a purpose for man. When He began to create him in the very beginning, when He took something that was nothing and made something out of it right here, we begin to see right now that He creates man to have His handprint, have His effect upon it. And I want you to know right now at this point in time that man was that perfect creation that God had. So whatever God wanted done, it was done right then and there. And you know, and as we begin to see right here, knowing that a man had a purpose, and you know, so many people begin to ask the question, why was man put here? What need, if God is so great, what need did God have for man? And I'm gonna tell you what right now, and you know, I don't begin to question things that I can't understand, and you know why I do that, and you know that seems kind of contradictory of man's nature measure today, and it sure is. But I know that right now the Word of God tells me that if you begin to ask why too much, it'll always get you in trouble. And you know what? I don't want to be in trouble with God this morning, but I know that He created man because of the Scripture. He created man to put him over all the beasts of the air, the fowls in the air, the beasts of the land, to take care of His perfect creation. So, you know, this morning, knowing that God's creation was once again perfect, knowing that He instituted man to matter and work and make a difference in His creation, we begin to see the only difference that needs to be made is the one that God institutes through man. So, you know what? As I begin to think about that a little bit, and we know that in the third chapter of Genesis, we begin to see work instituted again. But, you know what? I want to remind you right now that God was a working God. He worked a perfect work. He set forth a perfect work for man to do right here. But when man began to fail, whenever man began to fall from God, when man began to have sin, work began to become a different nature. And you know, and I'm telling you right now that the point this morning is to show you what working for God can do for you. But I'm going to tell you right now, the work that we look at today, it's not an enjoyous aspect of our life. You know, we oftentimes groan when it comes Monday morning because it starts out the work week, and everybody thinks that Mondays are bad days because of that coming to you. But I'm going to tell you what right now, that in the beginning when God gave work to man, He intended on it to be an enjoyous thing because it's an enjoyous thing to work for God. It's an enjoyous thing to do things for Him. You know what? I didn't say it was easy. I did not say that today, this morning, but I'm going to tell you what, that God can make it easy this morning. He'll make it easy for you if you'll put forth the effort. But you know, as we begin to see right here, that over in the third chapter, we begin to see man, how man begins to change the face of work. And you know, this morning, you may think that I'm trying to pound it in your head this morning, that it's important for us to go to our jobs, and I do believe it's important for a man to work. The Bible says that a man that don't work don't eat, and you know, we need to remember that, because there's a reason God does everything. There's a reason why He puts certain things in His Word for us to see right here, because if we'll learn from that situation, we'll see what Adam had to go through because of his sin, because he transgressed God. And you know what? Because of sin today, work is hard on the flesh. It's hard for us right now. We have to face things. But you know, as we begin to see that over in the third chapter, they transgressed against God. They took eat of the tree of knowledge right here, and we know how the story went down. And but I want you to see what God began to tell Adam right here whenever in the 17th verse of the third chapter, as we begin reading, it says, "And unto Adam He said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it, cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee. Thou shalt eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground, for out of it was thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust thou shalt thou return. And you know, this morning, as we begin to see right here, because of sin today, we know the penalty of sin today is death, because God is still angry at sin. And we know that we begin to see right here, as Adam begins to be handed down this, I guess you'd call it a curse from God. And I want you to know right now that work is not a curse given by God. And you know, as I was reading this right here, and how many times do we begin to think that it's a cursed thing to be able to have to go and labor for the things that we have in life, and the things that we have to obtain. And why is it instituted for us to work today? And you know, as I begin to see here, and what we need to realize the Scripture saying, is that God did not set work to be a curse to man, but He in fact begins to set a curse right here to how the labor would be able to become to us today. It's because of sin in our life that things are made harder on us. If you'll take a look back in your life today, you can begin to see that things begin to get a little bit harder when you try to do things on your own. Things begin to get harder whenever you try to figure out everything all by yourself. You know, I can think back to whenever I was lost and out in the world, and you know what, I tried to do things my own way, and only to find out that I fell and come short on a daily basis when I try to do that. But I want you to see right here, there's no mistake in that. You know what? As he begins to tell Adam right here, the sweat of thy face shall thou eat bread. He had to gain things. He had to sweat a little bit. He had to work to obtain the things that God would have gave him freely. And from the very beginning of time when God created that perfect creation and set that perfect work before him, he provided Adam with everything he ever needed. He made it easy on him. As long as Adam listened to him, things were going to be all right. Things were going to go according to plan. But you know what? Stepped in the way, it was sin. And I'm going to tell you what, if you begin to realize today that the only thing that's ever stepped in your way of serving God is sin, you know what? From the very beginning, it was set there for man. It's still the same way today. The only thing that'll hold you back from serving God is not going to be the man that you blame in the pew. It ain't going to be the man you blame behind the pulpit. It ain't going to be your mama and daddy. But it's a sin that you have in your life that has separated you from your God is the reason why today you find it difficult to serve an almighty God. And you know what I believe it says over in Isaiah, the 58th chapter, seems like we quoted it about every time we preach his word this morning. As we begin to see, it says that our sins, our iniquity is what separates us from our God. So you know what? Never a true statement ever been made better than that one today. It wasn't Adam that made the work hard on him. It wasn't God that made the work hard on Adam, but it was in fact Adam that made the work hard on himself. So you know what? It's not hard to serve God this morning. It really is not. You know what? We're going to face troubles and trials. We're going to face those tribulations that'll come about us. But it'll not be because God never offered to make it easy on us. It'll not be today because he doesn't give us guidance and give us safety in time of need. It'll be because we allow sin to creep in and it holds us back. So I'm going to tell you what right now, it wasn't work wasn't a curse given to man, but it was in fact the labor that we have. He said that he would put it in the ground. He said, cursed is the ground for thy sake. You know what? He taught us a lesson. Thank goodness for a God that will poke at us, that will keep us going, that will begin to give us that little bit of whooping that we'll every time now and then when we stand in need of it. He'll put us back. He'll correct us from our ways and put us back in the way that he needs us to be. So you know what? If it wasn't for that this morning, I don't know where I'd be this morning. I know where I'd be. I'll take that back. I know exactly where I'd be. I'd be lost and out in the world. I wouldn't know him in any way. I would be doomed for a devil's hell. That's exactly where I'd be right now. And that's where you'd be if God didn't love you so much that he gave his only begotten son. He gave his word that we can begin to take heed to it. Listen to what the gospel says. Take the writings of all the apostles and begin to know that there's a way that we are to live and to work and to begin to work for him and to make sure that in the end that it's looked at as a perfect work. But I'm going to tell you what right now, knowing that that we see all these things, that why did God hand a curse down to the work that man would do whenever he wanted man to work from him from the very beginning? Why would he do such things? Well, God did not forsake man. God did not hate man. God did not leave man. We begin to see that God still loved man. He just hated the sin. So we see over as we turn over into the third chapter, 21st verse, it begins to say that he unto Adam also and to his wife did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothe them. He still loved Adam, even though because of the sin, even though he made it a little bit harder on Adam, that he began to make him work for the things that he needed in life. God still wants to provide for man. And you know what? You can't begin to wrap your mind around what God wants for man today and how much he loves him, even though that man would transgress him against him so much. So to know that work is not a curse, but the curse is the effect of the hardness because of sin. So you know what? It's because of sin that we must deal with the evils of life. And you know what? There's no way that you can sway me on any other way. It's because, you know what? The evils of life come about us because there is sin in the world. There is sin out there today. There's sin in our lives. And we must face these things. So we must work our way out of it. And I'm not telling you this morning there's any way that you can work unto salvation. There is no perfect work that you could do to obtain an entrance into heaven today. The only perfect work that's ever been made today is that God sent his only begotten Son Son to die on that cross, to shed his blood abroad, that you and I would have opportunity. That was a perfect work, a perfect showing of love, that we can make our way back to a righteous God. And that'll be the only way you'll ever be able to stand in front of him today. So you know what? Knowing that he has provided a way. And you know, I'm going to tell you this morning, just as he provided for Adam right then, gave him the clothes to wear that he needed, even though that he had to work for everything that he ate. He had to work in order to live and get by, just as you and I have to today. God still wants to provide a way that you can make it into heaven, make heaven your home one day after a while. So, you know, this morning, as we begin to see what the scripture says, and you know what? I love this scripture right here. But knowing that he had provided that way, that perfect way, that we, if we would be able to work, if we were willing to come unto him and to believe it on his only begotten Son, there is a way to make it back to God this morning. And thank the Lord for that. Thank the Lord this morning that he shed his blood abroad for you and I, because over in 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter, starting right here with verse 17, going to go down through verse 21, it says, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new, and all things are of God, and who hath reconciled us unto himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us a ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them." And you know, like we said, we made it hard on ourselves, but he's looking to not impute our own trespasses against us, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. "Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." So you know what? God provided a way. God, even though that God instituted work as a perfect work, a perfect creation that he had given it to, and you know, we mess things up because of that sin that in our life, it causes things to be hard on us. We have to face the evils that'll begin to come about us, and we've got to take it head on and begin to work for it today. But I'll tell you what, if you'll work for it today, he's right there ready to provide for you when you come asking. So you know what? That promise has been given to us today, that word of reconciliation that we've received right now is available unto all men. They can all come by Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the one that was provided, that knew no sin, but was made sin for us because of what we had in our life against God. So I'm going to tell you what right now, that word of reconciliation, the ministry of reconciliation, that's the work that God has given to us today. There's something that we need to be doing, church. We need to be looking out there today and seeing what God have us do right now. I'm going to tell you, you know, it's not time to lay aside everything that we've learned, everything we've heard in the gospel. It's time for us to begin to stand up, to begin to hold on to his word, and to begin to preach it to that lost and dying world, because the word of reconciliation was not just given to you and I. It was given to the whole world. Every bit of creation that God ever created needs to hear about it right now. You know what? They may not all accept it, but you know what? The word of the ministry of reconciliation is a work that's given to us to be carried it out. And I want you to go back to that first verse that we just read in Corinthians. It says, until the new creature, the one that old things have passed away and all things have become new. It's something that God can do, and God can do only. So that creation he made in the beginning is perfect, and this new creation that he's made now, it's perfect instead. I'm going to tell you what, we begin to see that he made the first out of the dust of the earth, but he made the second like unto his only begotten Son, one that is to be perfect in the end. When he comes back, we know that all things in this world, all things we hold on to right now, all things that we lived our whole life working for, they'll surely pass away. But the only thing that's going to endure whenever those times come will be those that have proclaimed the only begotten Son's name, which is Jesus Christ. So you know what, we're going to read you this right here about the finished work. And you know what, we are not finished until we take our last breath. We keep on carrying on, just as God have us do with his leadership, guidance, and direction today. So work is not a curse right now, but in fact it's a gift given to us by God until that ultimate time to when the work is finished. So I'm going to tell you right now, God rested on the seventh day. You and I will have rest in the end if we'll trust in him. So in Revelation chapter 21 verse 1, we're going to leave you with this scripture. It says, "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no more sin." see. So, you know, everything that we've got right now is going to pass away. But you know what? Those that believe in the Lord, those that do His work, those that take part in that ministry of reconciliation, those that believed upon the Word and passed the Word along and worked for God, those are the ones that are going to endure until the end. So that's all we have for you this morning. If you don't have anywhere to go this morning, we invite you to come out to Faith General Baptist Church, located on 1530 Bird